Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, could there be a change of power in the state Senate? Ray Hager has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is Senator Ben Kiekhefer of Reno, and we're going to ask him if the Republicans can take control of the Senate in the state legislature.
And coming upon the power panel today, John Standy IV, Andy Barbano, and Liz McMenamin. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Is your garage a disaster area? California Closets can help. We can turn your messy garage into a model of organization. Zero down, 0% financing available. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
Attention, the diabetes drug Actos has been linked to bladder cancer.
If you've taken the diabetes drug Actos and now have bladder cancer, call the Goldwater Law Firm right now.
If you or a loved one took this drug and were injured, call us right now. You may be entitled to financial compensation.
If you or a loved one took Actos and were then diagnosed with bladder cancer,
call the Goldwater Law Firm at 800-351-7700. That's 800-351-7700.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
California Closets, the leader in home storage solutions, is serving the Reno-Tahoe area. Let our team of specialists help you reimagine new spaces in your home or office. Call or go online today to schedule your free in-home design consultation.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. We're pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator Ben Kiekhefer. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Wanted to talk to you, first of all, about the caucus across the state and the way it was carried out.
Mm-hmm. Well, the right person won, so that's what I care about most.
Okay, but there's a lot of talk now about potentially going to a primary instead of a caucus. What do you think about that?
Well, I've never liked the caucus process as a concept. If you have a job, you don't get to participate in selecting president. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. So the idea of switching back to a primary from the caucus is something I'm definitely willing to entertain. Something that, you know, is going to have to work for everybody, and we'll see if, you know, there's any appetite on the part of the legislature, other people in the state, the political parties to do that.
State Senator Sheila Leslie already was concerned about the cost.
Hmm. Well, we run a primary, so the question of whether or not you'd have to run two primaries, one for an early presidential state, and then one for all the other candidates, it could be a significant cost issue. So that's something we'd have to address.
When Senator Reid put together the presidential caucus for the Democrats 4 years ago, we got an incredible amount of attention going third. All the candidates were here. I remember being down in Carson City, and everybody except Barack Obama was in attendance. Mm-hmm. We got lots from the national press, as well as a lot of excitement within the state. Why do you think we didn't end up having that with the Republicans this time around?
You know, the dynamics of elections are always, different depending on the year. I think we got a good amount of attention, not as much as I think we should have, not as much as I would have preferred. When we moved our caucus date, I don't think that helped. But it's something that's going to be a dynamic situation each year when we have a presidential election.
You know, Senator, if we go from a caucus to a primary, Secretary of State Ross Miller said it could cost the state up to $2 million. Now, State Senator James Settlemyer from Douglas County has a plan to move the primary election that is in June, move that to February. That way, it wouldn't cost the state any more money, but it would move the election process up, you know, with the primary for everybody in February. Do you think this idea will fly with the legislature?
Well, again, if you want to eliminate the cost of having two primaries, you have one primary and have everybody on the same day. We'd have to evaluate whether or not a February primary would be, you know, appropriate for our state. I'd have to, you know, talk to Senator Sotomayor about it. I haven't done so yet, but definitely going to sit down and listen to him.
It just seems like that would be a huge gap for most of the election cycle, and maybe potentially a lot more expensive for the candidates.
Now, well, we've already moved up the primary from later in the fall to June. Pushing it back already to even further to February would be a long general election cycle. But you know, let's talk about it and see what might work.
All right. What did you think of the foreclosure settlement that was just signed off on by all the state's attorney generals, including Nevada's?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm concerned that it's not going to do enough for people. I mean,
like a joke to me in some ways.
Yeah, I think that you know, for people who are really struggling, it's really not going to help a lot. It seems like in some cases it's not a solution that's going to result in a fix. How it's going to play out is to be determined. You know, if someone, you know, invested $200,000 in a house and lost it and they get $2,000 back, you know, what good is that to them, really? So I'm concerned that it's really not going to have much of an effect here in Nevada.
And it also seems that the banks really didn't get punished. I mean, they already absorbed the losses before a settlement was even made.
Well, people that were functioning outside of the rules and outside of the law, this would be a slap on the wrist for them. I don't think it's going to be as effective as people are hoping for.
Now, Ben, you started the show saying that the right person won the caucus. You were speaking, of course, of Governor Mitt Romney. Also, I heard you speak before a group of Republicans, and you said that if Mitt Romney were the nominee, that he could help with Nevada issues and also help Republicans on the down ticket. Could you maybe expand and explain that?
Sure. I think that, you know, I'm focused primarily on the state Senate, and I think that we have a really strong opportunity to take the majority back in the state Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Mitt Romney will have coattails in a couple of the key races that we need to win in order to take back that majority. Both of those are in Clark County, currently Democratic incumbent seats, and neither of the Democratic incumbents is seeking re-election. And we have recruited incredibly strong candidates in both of those races. There's a significant LDS population in both of those races, in both of those districts, and you know, we feel that we're going to have the better candidate, we're going to be better organized, we're going to be funded, and a strong turnout that Governor Romney would generate would help push us over the top.
Wait, you're going to be better organized than the Harry Reid Democratic machine? Because it doesn't, from looking at the caucuses, it seems like right now the Democrats are way ahead of Republicans when it comes to state organization.
Well we are focusing as a caucus on the races that we can control. We're focusing on the state Senate races that we know are most important to us to take back the majority. The party functioning, the functioning of the Assembly Caucus, we're happy to coordinate with those organizations, but we are creating an organization within our own caucus to ensure victory.
How do you feel about the fact that it appears that so many people are leaving the Republican registration and becoming independents, mm-hmm. But you still have to go after those, and especially in the Mark Hutchison race, it's a Democrat-leaning district, you're going to have to get those independents.
Yeah, well, both of those key districts that I talk about are about a 4.7% Democratic advantage. We have to outperform registration, and historically in recent years we've done that. If you look back at Senator Roberson's race, if you look back at Senator Halseth's race, they outperformed registration by more than those margins, by more than that 4.7%. So, you know, we feel that with the right campaign and the right candidate, we're going to be able to attract those independent voters, those conservative Democrats who, you know, want to see, you know, a strong economic policy in our state. We feel that we're going to have the right candidates to attract those independent voters.
Are these going to be the most expensive state Senate races ever?
A lot of money was thrown around back in 2008, 2010. So whether they're going to be the most expensive, I don't know, but they will be well-funded.
All right, let's take a break. More with State Senator Ben Kiekhaefer when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Do you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS or state in back taxes? Hi, I'm Max with Blue Tax. Due to the current economy, the IRS and state tax agencies are being more lenient, but this won't last long. Here's how it works. Let's say you owe $20,000. With Blue Tax, this is what your settlement could look like. Great, right? There are many relief programs that taxpayers just don't know about, and you could wind up paying way less than you owe. Our team of attorneys and enrolled agents can negotiate settlements, lift bank levies, remove wage garnishments, eliminate penalties and interest, and reduce back payroll taxes. And at Blue Tax, we mean business. Those are my tax attorneys, and they don't mess around. They'll call the IRS or state on your behalf and negotiate your settlement for you. It's that easy. So call us right now for a free consultation at 800-969-2984. Or visit www.bluetax.com. And remember, you heard it from me, Max, at Blue Tax. 800-969-2984.
This segment is brought to you by Hutchison & Stephan, a full-services law firm with services such as business and commercial litigation, government relations, and election law. More information at hutchlegal.com. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with State Senator Ben Kiekhefer.
Senator, Assemblyman Kelly Kide of Douglas County, excuse me, said he will reintroduce the Brianna's Law bill in the 2013 legislature. Of course, you know that this would require DNA testing for anyone arrested for a sexual misdemeanor or a felony. It was very controversial in 2011. People were very concerned about the rights of privacy here. Mm-hmm. If that is reintroduced, would you support that?
I was prepared to support it at the end of the 2011 legislative session. I have some concerns about it, but in a way, I feel that DNA testing is really just a 21st century fingerprint that is a valuable asset to law enforcement to ensure that we're getting the right guy, and that's a critical issue. We've heard so much about how oftentimes people have been put on death row unfairly. This is a way to ensure that we're doing it correctly, that we're getting the right guy, that if there is an outstanding crime, that it can be solved when someone may get arrested for something else. I think that's a valuable tool to law enforcement, to public safety, and I think its time has come.
Now, one of the issues, though, with the NAACP of Las Vegas is that most of the traffic stops that occur in Nevada occur with drivers who are either black or Latino, and there is a feeling that they would be unfairly singled out in this DNA testing.
How many traffic
on that?
I don't know how many traffic stops are felonies, but we're talking about misdemeanors that are sexual in nature. We're talking about felonies and violent crimes. So I don't know how many people getting stopped for not using their turn signal are going to get incorporated.
Well, it's not that. It's what they can find in their car once they are stopped.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing too is that simple things like public urination, somebody who needs to go to the bathroom, that can become a sexual crime.
Mm-hmm. It can. Again, and if we take a DNA sample to run it against a CODIS database, and if that person had been perpetrating a violent crime against somebody, should they not get caught?
No, I think more the fact that something as simple as that could take somebody who's committed no other crime than needing to go to the bathroom behind a tree.
And we take the fingerprint now, and it's permanently kept in the database. So I just don't see the difference.
Okay, I want to change topics here on you. Congressman Mark Hammaday came out with a piece the other day about the future of Yucca Mountain, and he said, while some of my colleagues in the delegation have successfully managed to slow the project through the congressional appropriations process, I do not believe it is a dead issue, and I think it's more likely the depository eventually comes to fruition through a sound scientific process over time. That's a major break from the delegation since the late 70s.
It seems like it. It seems that it's been sort of a prerequisite to run for federal office in Nevada that you oppose Yucca Mountain at all turns. And if Congressman Hammaday is shifting the position on that from one of our delegation members, then that is a significant change.
And what do you think about that?
I think that there's probably something to what he's saying. The rest of the country, we need to recognize, has all of this nuclear waste laying around in their states, and they're still looking for a place to put it. The federal government is going to be able to at some point use its strong arm to open that repository if it wants to. It's the Federal Regulatory Commission that's controlling it, not the state. So I think it would be worthy of discussion to see whether or not it's something that we can prove up scientifically, and if we can, leverage it to our best use. If we can't, then we need to fight it at all costs.
And do you think there's a pile of money out there awaiting a state that's willing to take that waste?
I would think that there probably is.
Senator, let me change the subject. Of course, with the redistricting, now you represent Carson City. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of public employees in Carson City with mm-hmm. state workers, but you are opposed to public employee collective bargaining. Could you explain your stance on that?
I'm not opposed to collective bargaining in its entirety. I want to be clear about that. I think that the system that we have now for state employees is fair. State employees do not currently have collective bargaining rights. I've been a state employee, and I know that the valuable work that they do is oftentimes underappreciated, but collective bargaining is not the correct way to show them appreciation. When you look at the impact that collective bargaining has on local governments, it's not positive. And I think the most recent example that we can see is the negotiations that are ongoing between the school districts, both in Washoe and Clark County, and the local teachers unions there. Those have gone to binding arbitration, and coming out of a legislative session where we approved a budget for the school districts that included a 2.5% pay cut to teachers. The unions and the school district could not reach agreement on salary and benefits. They went to a binding arbitration process, and the arbitrator in Washoe County came back and sided with the union and said, no, you get to continue getting 2.5% raises. That's a $6 million swing in Washoe County that they had budgeted into their budget. So they've got $6 million back. They've got to pay the $6 million to make it 12, and then $6 million in the future year as well for an $18 million swing that the school district now needs to accommodate. That's going to result in layoffs to teachers. It's going to result in larger class sizes for our students, and it's going to result in these members who, if they had maintained a flat salary and not gotten a 2.5% increase in pay, would have kept their jobs. So we've got a process like binding arbitration where it's a winner-take-all. It doesn't drive people back to the negotiating table, which is what it was designed to do. You've got things like evergreen clauses and contracts that are a disincentive for a bargaining unit to come back and negotiate in bad times, which is a disadvantage to the taxpayer. And then you've got things like issues over ability to pay as the driving focus on issues, which disincentivizes a local government from doing effective fiscal planning in future years. And you see that in this instance with Washoe County. The school district had set aside money that was going to be due to the Incline Village property owners in their refunds, and the arbitrator can look at that pot of money that they had set aside as a sound fiscal management tool and say, oh, well, you have an ability to pay, so we'll side with the union. You got to pay it out,
and that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for being here. Obviously, lots more to talk about. Please come back
clearly.
Soon.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be right back on About a Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts, so you can succeed. So you can plan, so you can dream, and always remember, press on.
With all the uncertainty around healthcare, if you don't have health insurance through your work, now is a good time to find an individual plan that makes sense for your needs and budget from a name you can trust, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield. For example, Kristen just started her own business.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield helped me compare plans, and my personal doctor was in their large network. And when I needed surgery later, I didn't worry about my savings or my bottom line.
Or take George, who retired early and chose a plan that covers prescriptions.
I had a little health scare recently. My doctor ran some tests and changed my prescription, and now I'm back in the game.
With Caitlin's busy life, she needed coverage she could count on with preventive care.
Because with kids, you never know what will happen.
If you're looking for individual health coverage that makes sense, join all the people who depend on Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
For a free rate quote, contact your local agent. Call 1-866-771-0119 or visit us online at anthemforme.com.
Initially, we had no idea that the carpet tender did this kind of work. Leather refinishing, carpet tending, your name isn't really descriptive of that. We talked to you, we met with you, and decided to have you do the refinishing work, and we are impressed. This is beautiful. This is Italian leather. We paid a lot of money for it, and the work is awesome. I'd feel comfortable recommending you to any of my friends.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Liz McMenamin is here with Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors. Andy Barbano is editor of NevadaLabor.com, and John Sandy IV is with the attorney firm of Jones Fargus. Pleasure to have you all here. Ray, I thought you might want to continue the discussion about what really happened with the school employees and raises or lack of raises.
Well, it seems to me that to balance these school budgets, the school districts are asking the teachers to be taking the hits. And frankly, the teachers have been taking hits for many years. I don't think it's fair to keep going after them.
And how do you consider the teachers taking a hit when they have a contract that's been giving them raises all along? While we're seeing some cuts on the state level, those raises in that contract have been going on. The teachers, and granted, I'll go back to defending the teachers each and every time something comes up, but that contract, that union contract, there guarantees them that 2.5% increase. Now, there's a lot of us out there who haven't gotten raises for a couple of years because of the economy.
Yeah, well, it's everybody's making the teachers out as the villains here. They don't make that much money in the first place, and a 2.5% raise for a teacher's salary is not a lot.
Well, and I agree with you, they're not the villains. However...
Well, but the balance is, though, Ray, you know, as I'd have to say, is if the choice is between getting a 2.5% raise or losing your job, then a lot of people in the private sector have chosen not to take pay raises or take pay cuts in a lot of instances to be able to maintain that.
Well, I think the teachers have given up over the years for the budget thing. Help me out here, Andy.
Let's get serious. In 30 years ago, I made a speech at the Depression Deli in Reno saying that the day would come when Nevada would have to decide whether we were going to be a state or revert to being a boomtown mining camp. Let's amend the Nevada Constitution, shut down the schools, tell people if you have children, go somewhere else, because we don't give a damn. And that's exactly where we are. Conversations like this are worthless.
John, what are you talking about? I mean, that's the most absurd thing I've ever heard on Nevada news.
Exactly, Ray. And when I hear all this quibbling and the lower classes get to scramble for crumbs in an America that is increasingly unfair and divided, we're talking about the wrong things.
Jump in here with the only thing I'd add to it,
though, is that we're kind of losing sight of what the realities are. I mean, the realities are is we have a tax structure that brings in a certain amount of money, and that money has to be allocated to different interests that the state has determined are important, one of those being teachers' salaries. Now, if you don't increase that, I don't see how the pot gets any bigger so that you can raise 2% a year as these union contracts are. And that's where the discussion was, and Senator Kiekeffer was alluding to the shortcomings of collective bargaining. Now, obviously, there are benefits to collective bargaining. There are shortcomings. What I think as policymakers and what Senator Kiekeffer was about to go into was potential solutions and ways that we can fix the system to make it better.
There's plenty of money to pay for this. And again,
I guess so if we take it from the rich, huh, Andy?
I've got a 60-second solution for all of it. You eliminate all the freebies to the corporate welfare queens of Nevada, downtown redevelopment agencies, convention and visitors authorities that have been skimming public money to promote casinos for years. Raise the gross gaming tax. Start fairly taxing mining. There's plenty of money available. And we're just not doing it right.
And people will have a chance to vote on that, apparently, at the ballot box if all these initiative petitions get accepted and signed up for. I thought it was interesting to hear Senator Kiekeffer's thoughts on Mark Hammaday's thoughts on Yucca Mountain. There seems to be a change in this state, and do you think it's based just on the economy? Because when we didn't need the money, then perhaps that was something that we could push aside with no problem. But now when the state has a greater need for money, suddenly People on the conservative side are pushing to say, hey, this could create jobs, this could do a lot for the state.
Well, I think that's, that discussion has been had for quite a while, Sam. However, it may be more out front since the economy is what it is today. But I think that there's been a lot of people looking at what we can do as a state, what we can do with that land and that area. You know, maybe we can take and take the fuel and do something with it like they do in Europe. I think they reprocess the fuel over there as opposed to just storing it away. This is the spent fuel rod. So I don't know. Maybe the discussion needs to be had. Maybe we need to come to the table and have that discussion. I don't relish the idea of
reprocessing waste. Gives you more nuclear junk than when you started. Transmutation is a process that does reduce and eliminate nuclear waste, but transmutation is very electricity intensive and very expensive. But with the Obama administration okaying nuclear plants for the first time in three decades since Three Mile Island, this is going to come up again. But if you're serious about eradicating nuclear waste, the science, as Senator Joe Neal and I presented to the legislature over a decade ago, is in transmutation, not reprocessing.
Okay, John, you get the last 30 seconds here.
Well, it is interesting to see how the discussion has changed, and we are coming to I think some people are realizing the inevitability of Yucca Mountain. I mean, even today we say it's dead, but I don't know that anybody actually believes that it's dead. I think that now we're being forced to think outside the box to see what we can do if we eventually do have a repository here, and we obviously want to make the most economical and best decisions with that.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $19.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Is chronic back pain inhibiting your lifestyle and your quality of life? I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. At ProSpinal, we specialize in a revolutionary, highly successful treatment known as non-surgical spinal decompression.
My leg gave out on me, and I knew something immediately was wrong.
I found this technique works especially well for disc herniation, disc bulge, sciatica, stenosis, and degenerative disc disease.
Exactly 15 minutes after the treatment began, the pain was gone. I mean, it was amazing.
My primary goal is to get you or a loved one back to a pain-free and very active lifestyle. In just 3 days, most of our patients experience that relief. But if that's not the case, those 3 days are complimentary.
There's no pressure, I think you'll be totally amazed with the results.
Our consultations are always free, and we offer a 3-day, no-risk trial to all qualified candidates. Give ProSpinal a call today at 336-3472 or visit us online at prospinalinc.com.
Attention mothers and fathers of children with birth defects. The antidepressant drug Zoloft has been linked to heart, brain, and spine damage and many other horrible birth defects in newborns.
I'm attorney Bob Goldwater. If this has happened to you or a loved one, call us right now. You may be entitled to financial compensation.
If you took Zoloft while you were pregnant and your child was born with a birth defect,
call 1-800-642-7529. That's 1-800-642-7529.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating 40 years in business. And as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $19.95.
We deliver for 40 years.
Piping hot all over town.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Thanks, Sam. Tomorrow's guest is Reno's Mike Alonzo, who knows more about gaming than Sam and I put together.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.